Let's say some words about the last words that Jesus proclaimed from the cross. The time is almost over for Jesus on the cross in our passage. He's been hanging on the cross for 6 hours. And he's at the very end. And in John chapter 19, verse 28, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Father, I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, and I thank you for the fact that our Savior said, 'It is finished.' And all that that means. We rejoice in a completed sacrifice. We rejoice in the completed way to salvation. Bless our time together in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're looking at that sixth statement tonight. It is finished. And that's the statement that makes us shout hallelujah. Right? That's a shout of victory. That's a shout of triumph. This is the shout of somebody who won. It doesn't say here in John, but the other Gospels tell us that the last statements that Jesus made at the cross were cried out with a shout. So Jesus here shouted out in victory, "It is finished." Last time we looked at the statements that he made from the cross, and we examined that one where he said, "I thirst," and we saw the significance of that statement. But I suggest to you that Jesus asked to get a drink for another reason as well, to wet his parched lips, to moisten his dry throat, so that he could scream out, "It is finished." This is the cry of victory. And there is so much significance to this statement. So much joy in this statement. So much significance that what I want to do tonight is sort of divide all the significance into two headings based on the Greek word. That phrase in English is "it is finished," but it comes from one Greek word, tetelestai. How many of you have heard that statement? Jesus on the cross here said, tetelestai, it is finished. And that word comes from another Greek word, telos. And there's two shades of meaning that come from that word. One meaning is this. It refers to something that comes to an end. Something that is stopped. Something that is no longer moving. It's finished. In a sense, you could say Jesus said here, "It is stopped. It is ended." Then there's the other shade of meaning, where it basically refers to something that was accomplished. Something that was completed. A goal, a task that was reached. Something carried all the way through to perfection. So in another sense, when Jesus says, "It is finished," he's saying something has been completed. Something has been taken care of. Something has been accomplished. And I want to look at both shades of meaning for that word. There were a number of things that stopped here when Jesus said, "It is finished." There are another number of things that came to an end. One of which is this. This was the end of wicked men treating Jesus brutally. That had come to an end. No longer would any man, any wicked man, be able to treat Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with such brutality. And he says, "It's finished, that's over. That's come to an end." Guys, you know that when Jesus was in his public ministry, he looked forward to an hour that was coming in the future when he would be delivered into the hands of wicked men. He knew there was an hour coming. He knew there was an hour coming when he would be handed over to the ruler of darkness, which is the devil. And he would be handed over into the hands of these wicked men who would treat him so cruelly. And I want you to know tonight that he allowed that to happen. Do you understand that? He allowed himself to be betrayed. He allowed himself to be arrested. He allowed himself to go through a mock trial at the hands of the religious leaders. He allowed them to slap his face. He allowed them to mock him. He allowed them to spit in his face. He allowed himself to be delivered into the hands of the Roman soldiers. He allowed them to spit in his face. He allowed them to beat him. He allowed them to mock him. He allowed them to whip him on a bare back, 39 lashes. He allowed them to place a crown of thorns on his head. He allowed them to crucify him on the cross. He allowed the ruler of darkness to have his heyday. And he went through all that. But I love it. When he said, "It is finished," that's over. No more. They've had their heyday long enough. That's it. That's the worst you can do to me. Jesus is saying, "It is finished." That has stopped. That has come to an end. And I personally find great comfort in that as a Christian, because I know that one day I'm going to be able to say that too. It's finished. See, the Bible says that Christians will experience persecution and terrible things at the hands of wicked men. Jesus promised his disciples, "They hated me, they're going to love you." No, they hated me, and they're going to hate you also. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. The Bible says those who live godly will suffer persecution. And there are Christians throughout history who have been persecuted at the hands of wicked men. Christians who have been martyred for their faith, put in prison, put in poverty, had their family members taken away, all those sorts of things. And even today we see that in this world. And maybe you sit here tonight and you are being persecuted as a Christian simply because you love Jesus Christ. The boss is giving you problems at work. Somebody in your family is giving you a hard time. Whatever the case, whatever persecution you are facing right now, let me just tell you, hold on. In a little while, you'll be able to say, "That's finished." No more persecution. When we get to heaven, either by death or by the Lord's return, we are in bliss. We are protected. There will be no more persecution. We will be delivered out of the hands of wicked men, and we'll be able to say, just like Jesus, it's finished. And that should give us courage right now, shouldn't it? When Jesus said, "It is finished," I believe something else stopped. Something else came to an end. The suffering that he experienced as a human being, living in a falling world. Jesus experienced the human condition, didn't he? Now, we know he experienced a lot of suffering and pain and physical abuse at the cross. But Jesus, the book of Hebrews tells us, experienced life just as we do. He got sick. He got tired. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He was poor. He was homeless at some points. He watched friends die and grieved over it. Of course, he also rose him from the grave, too, like Lazarus. But he saw that. He saw death and disease and destruction and lost people everywhere. He experienced the human condition at the cross. He says, "It is finished, stopped, that's over." Jesus would rise again. He would be given a glorified body, never to experience the pain of the human condition again. He experienced it. And I find comfort in that, because one day we'll say goodbye to that as well. Amen. One day, as we sang, we'll get a new body. One day, we will go to a place where there is no pain, no suffering. We can say, it is finished. That is done. That's all complete. Maybe there would be one here tonight who's suffering with chronic pain or chronic illness or problems in your life, finances, making things meet, making ends meet, difficult relationship issues, all these sorts of things that we face in life. Hang on, hold tight. In a little while, you'll say it's finished. There'll be no more pain, no more suffering. I love one of the descriptions of heaven that you find in Revelation chapter 21. Listen to this. John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. The former things have passed away. That tells us all the pain and suffering that we experience right now. One day in heaven, we won't even remember it. It'll be absolutely passed away. That will be all over. Think of it. I heard about a pastor who, as a kid, had a horrible problem with motion sickness. Anybody have motion sickness? Where he was in a car, every 20 miles, he'd actually have to pull over and Ralph, throw up. Every 20 miles, imagine that. Imagine taking kids on a long car trip like that. But anyways, they used to go to visit their grandmothers, which was about 100 miles away. And so there they'd go, and he would Ralph 4 or 5 times every time they went to grandma's house. Now, the grandmother knew this. And so the grandmother made sure that everything was going to be just perfect for her grandson. And when grandson got there, there were cakes, there were treats, there were toys, there were all these wonderful new things for him to play with and enjoy. And he used to say that after about 5 minutes of being at grandma's house, he had forgotten all of the episodes that had happened on his journey to grandmother's house. That is a wonderful picture of us. We are on a journey. We're on a pilgrimage. We're headed to heaven. And there's episodes in this life. There are Ralph sessions in this life. There's times when we get sick. There's times when there's all sorts of pain that we have to deal with. But the Bible says when you get to heaven, you'll forget all that. Amen? That won't be a part of your life. You won't even remember it. And so hold on. Hold tight. One day you'll say, that's all finished. That's all done. That's all stopped. Beautiful. There's another thing that I believe stopped when Jesus said it is finished from the cross. And we've talked a lot about that in detail on Sunday morning as we're studying the book of Hebrews. When Jesus said it is finished, that is a signal that the Old Testament approach to God went away. And the New Testament approach to God gave birth. All of the Old Testament, Old Covenant, the ritual, the priesthood, the law, the temple, the tabernacle, all of that went away. It stopped. It ended. That finished. And Jesus inaugurated a new way to God, a better way, himself. And I'm so glad because the old way was so inefficient and it didn't work. It was based on ritual and the works of man. It never enabled anybody to really change. All those sacrifices could not take away sins. And the access to God in the Old Testament was totally limited. But with the death of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, everything's been opened up. Everything's been changed. Now you can have a relationship with God. Now heaven is open. Now we can be empowered on the inside. Now we can be changed forever. Now we have true access to God. So that old way ended. The ritualistic approach to God ended. The old covenant stopped. You don't have to come to God by ritual, by external sorts of laws and commands that you have to keep. We are now free in Jesus Christ, living in a dynamic relationship with God through Jesus Christ, with His Spirit inside us, allowing us to live better than anybody ever could under the law. All that stopped. Let's go to the other shade of meaning. The things that were accomplished. Those were some things that ended. Those were some things that stopped. Now let's consider some things that were accomplished at the cross. Jesus said, "It is finished." There were things that were accomplished, and I can think of a number of things. The mission that He was sent to planet Earth to do was accomplished. God had sent Jesus on a mission, right? He sent Him from heaven to planet Earth. God the Father gave Him a task to complete, a mission to complete, something to do. And Jesus, here at the cross, is able to say, accomplished, mission accomplished, I've done it. In fact, that Greek word, tetelestai, was often used in those times in the context of slaves and masters. A master would tell a slave to go do something. Go mow the lawn. I don't know if they did that back then, but go mow the lawn or go water something. Go take this task. Do this project. Do this thing I've assigned you to do. When the servant would come back after completing the project, he'd come to his master and say, tetelestai. The work that you gave me to do was completed. And Jesus was able to say that to His Father. I finished it. Everything that God asked the Son to do, the Son did. All that was required of Him, Jesus Christ did. In fact, it's kind of interesting. The first words that we have recorded in the Gospels that Jesus spoke, how many of you know what those are? Can you think back? It was when Jesus was a boy. Remember, He got lost from mom and dad? And He was in the temple. They found Him. He said, "Where were you?" First words recorded by Jesus are, "Don't you know that I need to be about my Father's business?" And then all through the gospel, you see Him doing the will of the Father, completing the task. And then at the cross, right there at the end, He's able to say, "It's finished. I completed it all." Oh, I hope we can say that on our deathbeds. Amen. Paul the Apostle was able to say that. All that he went through, all that he struggled in 2 Timothy chapter 4, though, he was able to say, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. It's finished. It's accomplished. I did all that my Father asked me to do." My brother and sister in Christ, will we be able to say that on our deathbed? I finished what God called me to do, to be the witness that I needed to be, to do the ministry that He called me to do, to love my family like I was called to love, to be able to say, "I lived my life for the kingdom, for Jesus. It's finished. I accomplished it." That's all that'll matter, right? That's all that will matter. When you get to the end of your life, what have you done for Jesus? What have you done for the kingdom? And I believe He has a specific mission for us, a specific task for us. Let's find it. Let's accomplish it in His power. There are other things that He accomplished, no doubt. Jesus, without a doubt, fulfilled many Old Testament prophecies. He completed the picture of Old Testament prophecy. When he said it's finished, it's sort of like he fulfilled everything that the Old Testament said of him. There were many, many prophecies given in the Old Testament, details concerning the Messiah who would come hundreds of years before he came. And Jesus was to fulfill those details. Those prophecies were given to identify him as the Messiah, to mark him as the Messiah, so that people would be able to see and say, yes, that's God's anointed. That's the Son. That's the Messiah. And all of the prophecies that he fulfilled, detailed prophecies. The scripture said he would be born in Bethlehem. He's born in Bethlehem. Born of a virgin. He's born of a virgin. Born from the line of Judah. Born from the line of Judah. Born from the son of David. Son of David. All the things concerning his crucifixion, many of that prophesied in the Old Testament hundreds of years before crucifixion was even invented. Jesus came on the scene and he completed the picture. All those prophecies in the Old Testament were like pieces to a puzzle. And that puzzle was made complete with the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. He perfected that picture. He accomplished that picture. He fit all those prophecies and he fulfilled them. So you could say, it's completed. It's finished. It's fulfilled. And that's important that we have a Messiah who fulfills prophecies. You know, there's a lot of people that come out and claim to be the Son of God. There's a lot of false prophets out there. I read of one guy, I forgot his name, but on the East Coast, apparently there's somebody real popular who's going around saying that he's the Son of God, running around claiming to be Messiah. I mean, and he's got a huge following. And yet, he was born in Jersey, New Jersey. The Bible say the Messiah will be born in Jersey. Where's the Messiah supposed to be born? Bethlehem. That's the first question you should ask. Huh, I'm the Son of God. Yeah, where were you born? Yonkers? Nah, don't think so. Jesus perfectly fit all those prophecies, all those details. And at the cross, when he hung and said, it's finished, he says, I've accomplished. I have done what was written of me in the volume of the book. It's complete. It's accomplished. I can think of another thing that was accomplished through the death of Christ on the cross. And this is a very important one. You remember that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, I did not come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. I did not come to take away the prophets and the law of the Old Testament. Rather, he said, I came to fulfill it. Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly in two aspects. The law of the Old Testament defined the righteousness of God. It defined what the righteous standard was for God. You had to keep that law. Those were the righteous requirements of God. Now, nobody in the Old Testament kept that law. Nobody in all of history could ever keep that Old Testament law with all those commandments and all those rules and regulations. Nobody, that is, except for one, Jesus. Jesus kept the law. Jesus totally fulfilled the law. And he did it even way beyond keeping the details and the letters of the law. He kept the very spirit of the law. He was perfectly righteous, perfectly true, without any sin. Here's another little way that that Greek word tetelestai was used back then. When the priests would inspect the lambs that were coming to be sacrificed, they would look over those lambs. Remember the lambs, they couldn't have any spot, right? No blemish. Had to be a perfect specimen of a lamb. They would look that lamb over, and if that lamb was perfect, they would say, tetelestai. Perfect. Perfect sacrifice. Jesus was to tell us die. Perfect. Perfectly fulfilled the law. In all of its meaning. In all of its requirements. And at the cross, Jesus fulfilled another aspect of the law. The aspect of the law that said lawbreakers deserve to die. Sin deserves sacrifice. If people break the law, then there must be a sacrifice. Blood must be shed. Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood for lawbreakers, though he himself perfectly kept the law. He fulfilled the law. At the cross, as he dies, I have fulfilled the law. The law has been accomplished. And listen, that's why it's so important that a person must receive Christ as their Savior if they want to be forgiven. See, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you are identified with Jesus Christ. And so you are seen in the eyes of God as one who has perfectly kept the law. Not because you did it, but because you're in Christ who did. And all your sins are seen as gone away because Jesus has died for your sins. And so when he says, I have fulfilled the law, man, so powerful, so important. So much work was completed by Jesus Christ. So much for our benefit. The fact that he could say, it's finished. The other thing that was accomplished, and this is so important, when Jesus said it is finished at the cross, he was saying that the perfect sacrifice has been offered once for all. The perfect sacrifice for sin has been offered once for all. Jesus was saying, I have taken the sins of the world upon myself. I have experienced the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the penalty for sin that all of the world, they deserved. I've done it. I've been sacrificed for it. It is accomplished. It's complete. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ will never have to be offered again. It is the perfect sacrifice that stands forever. Jesus accomplished it. It's done, never to be repeated again. And his perfect sacrifice is sufficient for all time. All time. His death on the cross. We find out from the book of Hebrews that his death on the cross was retroactive. It reached back to the Old Testament. And it's his shed blood that would cover the sins of the Old Testament saints. His shed blood was effective to remove the sins from the people in his day. And yes, here in September of 2006, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is sufficient to remove away any of our sins, those who call upon the name of the Lord. He completed the one perfect sacrifice that is sufficient for all time. And get this, his perfect sacrifice at the cross is also sufficient for all people who have ever lived. Past, present, future. That one sacrifice. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says, he himself, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The death of that one sacrifice. It's sufficient to save every single person who has ever been born in the history of time. What a sacrifice! I accomplished it. I have done the work. It is finished. At the cross, when he said it is finished, he was also saying, I have completed the way of salvation. The way to heaven is now open. The way for people to get saved is now, once and for all, completed. Jesus provided the way of salvation. It's over. There is no other way of salvation. It's only the salvation that Jesus Christ initiated by his death on the cross. And he's completed that way. Again, through his death, his shed blood, him taking upon himself our sins, dying in our place, taking the judgment of God and wrath of God upon himself on behalf of sinful people. That opens the way to salvation. That enables sins to be forgiven. That enables people to become born again. And that is totally open. That way has been accomplished. And it stands ready for you tonight. Now, he has accomplished salvation. But that does not mean that everybody's getting saved. Because there's one little thing that God requires. And I really think it's little compared to all that he did. He asks us to willingly receive the gift. To ask him to be our Savior. To ask him to be our Lord. To put our belief and our faith on him. And if we do that, the Bible promises, then all of that work that he accomplished gets applied directly to your life. But he won't force that on you. He wants people to choose him. Have you chosen him? There's another wonderful word that is connected to our salvation as Christians, and that word is redemption. Redemption means to buy back. Literally, it means to buy somebody who's in bondage. It speaks of somebody who's a slave. They're living in bondage. Somebody comes along and pays the debt for their freedom. Pays the price. Lets that slave go free. The Greek word tetelestai has been found on a number of documents that were used in ancient history. Most of the times those documents were receipts. The tax man. Where somebody had paid their taxes. And written on that receipt, tetelestai, paid in full. Or it's been found on, little receipts where bankers have been had their debt totally paid, where somebody owed somebody a large debt and they've been making payments on it. And that last payment, they get a receipt and back it says, tetelestai, payment received, paid in full. Jesus paid in full at the cross, the payment for our sin. When he said tetelestai, he said, it's all been paid. The debt that we owed, he paid. So all that we must do, folks, is put our faith in him. Receive him. Ask him to be our Savior. He's done all the work.
I love one guy, this pastor, he was approached by a flippant young man. And the man asked him, what must I do to be saved? And the preacher said, it's too late. Went about his work. And the young man became alarmed. Do you mean it's too late for me to be saved? Is there nothing I can do? And the pastor said, too late. It's already been done. The only thing you can do is believe. And that is the only thing that we can do. Is believe. Put your faith in Christ. He's done all the work. My brother and sister in Christ, we're about to hand out these elements that represent the broken body and blood of Jesus Christ. As we hand these out, understand once again that there is nothing
that you and I can do to earn salvation. There's absolutely no way that we even deserve salvation. Jesus Christ has done all the work. We believe on Him. And I want you to invite you tonight to just simply enjoy salvation. Enjoy salvation. Enjoy what Christ has done for you. Remember what Jesus has done for you. Look upon Him on the cross tonight afresh. If you haven't done so yet, then I'm going to invite you to ask Christ to be your Savior. Maybe you thought you needed to work and you got to do so much to get to heaven. Understand, it's finished. Jesus did the work. It's been accomplished. You must believe. You must put your faith in Him. And also, as we close, I want to point out that Jesus said, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I'm finished." He didn't say, "It's all over for me. I'm dying. See ya." Jesus rose again the third day. We serve a living God and a living Savior who I believe is right here in the midst of His people. And if you will bow and receive Him as your Savior, you will become born again. All of your sins will be removed from you. And you can follow Him the rest of your days. Brother and sister in Christ, let's enjoy our salvation tonight. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Lord, so often, and Lord, I so include myself in this, so often, Christianity, our walk with You, becomes all about us. What we do, the works that we complete. But Your Word shows us so clearly. It's not about us at all. It's all about You. It's about what You've done. It's about the sacrifice that You made for us on the cross. So, Lord, we come before You tonight just desiring to enjoy the salvation that You have provided for us. To thank You for it. To worship You for it. To be filled afresh once again with the knowledge of how much You love us and how much You did for us. I would ask that you just keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed, and just a time of worship and prepare your heart right now. Thank the Lord for what He done, what He's done for you. Spend some time in worship. I'm going to have Debbie come up and we'll sing a song and disperse the elements in just a moment. There is a place at the cross for you tonight. His sacrifice is sufficient for all. All of us. On my knees at the foot of the I realize that tonight there are many people here that are going through all sorts of problems in life, struggles, issues, sickness, loved ones that are going through hard times. Jesus said it is finished. Payment for sin has been made. An entrance into heaven is open. And one day all that goes away. So you hold on. Hold on tightly to your Savior. Hold strongly to Him. He's made it possible for all that to go away. If there would be anyone here tonight who's never received Christ as Savior, and maybe you've even taken the elements and you have them, I want to warn you before you take them. You need to know what they mean. You need to know what they represent. The scripture says if you take these elements carelessly, not understanding what they mean, it does you no good. In fact, it sort of brings judgment upon you. You're not understanding what these represent. This represents the blood of Christ, His broken body. It's the way we remember the sacrifice that He made at the cross. It is the way that believers remember the sacrifice that He made at the cross. And so if you've never received Christ, if you never asked Him to be your Savior, I want you to say that prayer right now with me, inviting Jesus to be your Savior, and then we'll all partake. Father, I pray for anyone who needs to make that decision right now. That right now, that decision would be made. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, then I invite you right now to pray this prayer after me. Just simply say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for paying the price. Thank you for doing the work. You ask me to put my faith in you, and so I do that right now. I place my faith in you, my trust in you. I invite you to be my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Make me born again. And if you prayed that prayer, you have become born again. His sacrifice is sufficient. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take together, brothers and sisters. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. Praise the Lord for Jesus and for his sacrifice. We have just a few minutes left, but I have many of the elders here tonight. And I just want to go into a time of prayer. And if anybody needs to be prayed for, a sickness, a health issue, I would invite you to come right on up. And we will lay hands on you and pray for you that the Lord would heal you. Any type of prayer request that you might have. I would ask that all of us go to the Lord in prayer, though. So would you spend some time voicing your prayers to the Lord? Let's do that. And I'd like the elders to come right on up, Rex. And if there is anyone here that needs to be prayed for, let's do that. Father, I ask that you would bring healing to your people in every way, that you would bring blessing to your people. Lord, we even want to pray for those that aren't with us tonight. They're somewhere else. We know that you answer prayers long distance. And so we bring up our relatives, our friends, people that we know at work, and we ask that you would bring healing. And if anybody would like to stand up and pray out loud for anything that the Spirit puts on your mind, please feel free to do so. I believe the communion service is a powerful, powerful time when we gather together in the presence of Christ. The scripture says, come to the elders, let them lay hands on you, and their prayer of faith will heal.
Thank you.
Lord bless you, and feel free to hang out and fellowship as long as you want with people. The mosquitoes are a little fierce out there, so you might want to do fellowship indoors, but God bless you.